The Yankees just debuted their double-barrel duo of Clark Schmidt and Nestor Cortez. We got plenty of thoughts on that. The Yankees, of course, won 2-0 today. They finally won a series in game two of said series against the Chicago Cubs. 2-0, and good news, the Orioles lost. So that means the Yankees somehow are back in first place in the AL East. Gary, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm fairly certain nobody wants to win this division. It seems like we've traded places with the Orioles probably 10 times the last 3 weeks. And it almost seems like every time this happens, you feel like, okay, the Yankees have a couple guys returning. Last time we had Giancarlo Stanton returning to lineup, we went out in first place and we thought, okay, now we're going to go out and take control of this division. Now you fast forward to today, Luis Gil back in there, Schmidt back in there, Nestor Cortez, they kind of have this double barrel action going on and it worked to perfection. And you'd like to believe, okay, Garrett Cole going tomorrow, the Yankees are finally going to take control. But Jake, I feel like we've been through this too much. I'm not going to make any assumptions. We just have to accept what came today and then move on.
Yeah, I mean, I give a lot of credit to Aaron Boone for doing this. Maybe I take a little bit away from Jack Curry just because I guess it wasn't totally his idea. I mean, maybe he had some knowledge. If he did come up with this and Aaron Boone took it from him, then I'm reversing that. But I'm going to assume that Aaron Boone had this idea. Jack Curry knew about it. And so he mentioned it as an option. I think it's a great option. I think this is, you know, kind of similar to how sports kind of revolutionize over, you know, the course of time. You have, you know, in football, you have a red zone specialist. You go out, you get a tight end or a wide receiver that's just a little bit bigger than everyone else. You just throw it up and let them go and get it. You know, in basketball, Coach Calipari back with Kentucky, he was actually one of the first coaches in college basketball to have, you know, kind of this, you know, one rotation, two rotations. So he had a lineup. He had two lineups, essentially full lineups with guys that could play. And I feel like the Yankees with this, and I'm not going to say that they're the first team to do this because I'm sure they're not, but they're the first team that I'm aware of that's done it. Well, I think somebody mentioned that the Diamondbacks did it once, but point I'm going to make here is that this needs to stay. And the reason I say that, Gary, is because when you look at the way baseball is going right now, we're constantly talking about how the Yankees, who used to give a lot of length in their starts towards the end of the year, now we're talking about, you know, Clark Schmidt going 4 2/3. And obviously they had a pitch count set for him when he came back and they were fine with it because they already had this plan going into it with Nestor Cortez. But I think the reality of the situation is this: when you talk about a league that is now forcing players to throw harder than they've ever thrown, you're going to lose some stamina, right? It's no different than in MLB The Show. If you just only, you know, throw curveballs, eventually your stamina is just going to get depleted. So
true.
Gary, I really like this because I think this is something the league is going to actually eventually adopt. And the whole, they have to pitch 7 innings. That's never going to happen. He's an idiot for even bringing that up. But I do think that it could be something like this where you have your starting five rotation. And then what you have is you have two like kind of hybrid reliever starters. And I think we're going to see more of it because the MLB roster has not expanded. It's gone up by one. Okay. One spot until it expands to 40 and you just have a giant bullpen and they kind of take away. Cause I wouldn't be necessarily a huge fan of that. Cause I think they'd take away a lot of the, you know, the strategy. Until they go that route, I think this is the route a lot of teams are going to go in, Gary.
Yeah, I totally agree. And let's be clear, there was a problem with this idea when it was first introduced by Jack Curry. And that problem was that if you were going to go with Clark Schmidt and Luis Gil, you have two right-handed guys and the opposing team now knows if this is your strategy, well, we're just going to throw a bunch of lefties out there. Aaron Boone essentially mitigated that with having Schmidt and Cortez come out. Now, obviously, we're going to talk about those quotes that he gave us post game, to which you're actually going to defend. And I'm sort of going to agree with you, but I'll go the other way at least a little bit. But I love this because not only was this deployed, which was not necessarily daring, but this is creative. When Aaron Boone says that he's going to be creative, don't just tell me you're going to be creative and then just draw a name out the hat. No, go do something that brings actual some creative energy and shows you're actually thinking about the game of baseball. When we heard this idea from Jack Curry, as soon as we heard it, Jake, we both lit up and we're like, wow, this is so unlike the Yankees. This is not them. And not only this, this is the part that excited me the most by far. When the Yankees got out to the ninth inning, my heart sank a little bit. Now, I didn't want to take credit away from anything that Boone had done all day and the job Schmidt and Cortez did back to back, but it worried me going to the ninth inning because I saw Weaver warming up and I thought to myself, are they about to do this double barreled action, which was just the perfect thing you could ever do, and then undo it by going to a closer? No. Aaron Boone went out and threw Nestor Cortez, finished the game, and essentially gave the bullpen a complete day off. Best thing that I've ever seen from the Yankees in the last year and a half. I was super excited to see it. I hope everybody else was excited as I was.
Gary, I said it to you. I texted you. I mean, this is a 2-0 ball game with only 4 hits. It was not exciting, but pitching was exciting. And I'm one of those people, I think a lot of people, you know, would agree, offense is definitely my favorite. I mean, without a doubt, I love watching, you know, just home run swings and just good baseball, right? But pitching today was fun. Like, it was fun to watch. You know, I want to point out something. Cortez technically pitched his own little no-hitter in the 4 1/3. Clark Schmidt gave up 4 hits, and Cortez didn't even give up a hit. So, you know, both walked a batter, but for the most part, Cortez comes in with a runner on third, which, I mean, he's never really experienced since, as they said, going back to 2021 was his last relief effort. I was really impressed with the way, you know, Nestor kind of just immediately took over this role. And this doesn't mean Luke Weaver can't close, because this is just one game. These two technically should be labeled that they started today, so they shouldn't be able to be used like whenever. Like,
and Cortez, Weaver also pitched yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I was really glad they saved him. But
right,
Gary, you do this twice because you do have Poteet coming in, right? If you do this twice on two of your, you know, 5 starters, that's 2 days. Not everybody is Clay Holmes and needs to be pitched every day to stay in the rhythm. There are actually a lot of guys that, you know, they'll take the break. So I do feel like giving 2 days, because if this works out, I mean, Gary, if they gave up 3 runs, I still would have said that was a successful outing. 3 runs in 9 innings. They gave up 0. The first time they've ever used this that we're excited about, and they pitch it a shutout.
I have a question for you now. Now that I think about it, Schmidt and Cortez, right? Righty, lefty, clear game plan. They stuck with it throughout the whole game. Obviously, it worked. Probably a little better than they were expecting. Do you consider, obviously, we're paying them a lot of money, so this is, I didn't think of this question until just now. Do you think about the idea of pitching Carlos Rodon and Cody Poteet back-to-back in a potential double-barreled action?
I think that would make a lot of sense. And the reason I agree with you there is, one, we don't know if Poteet would be better in the back half of a game instead. Cause I mean, his stats, his splits wise, when I looked at him, he looked much better in the front half of the game.
Yes.
And you're not going to tell Rodon, hey, you're coming out of the bullpen. He wouldn't do it. That dude will not do that. So I think that would make sense because we talk about it constantly. Rodon can have 11 strikeouts and everything, but he doesn't always have those. A lot of his outings are he's struggling to get through 5 innings. He hasn't given up many, you know, hits, not a lot of damage, but now you have to take him out. He's not even going to get a win. And now you have to use the bullpen. And it's like he pitched well, but his pitch count was really high. So I think it makes sense. I would probably do it for Stroman, though, right now, if I'm being honest with you.
Okay.
That would be the one, because Stroman's been the most consistent at really not being able to get out of the 5th inning, like as of late. And so I feel like, you know, you had mentioned obviously early on back in our first episode, you mentioned how Stroman had never pitched X amount of innings and now he's over that. And I do have, you know, concerns about that. So I think Poteet in the back half of that, because I think he'll work in the back half. I don't put too much stock in his splits there because he was kind of pitching sporadically. If he was consistently like the double barreled action for a guy like Stroman, I think that makes sense. I like that.
Yeah, because it's more so, it's not necessarily that I'm throwing names in the hat because I don't think they're capable of completing an outing. Because there are a lot of people out there who don't necessarily trust Carlos Rodon to consistently give us what we're asking for.
It's more and so it's the not, lefty-righty.
It's the lefty-righty thing. That's the only reason I put his name in there. And we don't necessarily have another lefty that I trust to start totally a game. Understand. So it leaves Rodon, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I would actually be all for that. It's just, it's a matter of, does it make a little bit more sense for Stroman? Because he hurts the bullpen. When he has those games, he absolutely kills the bullpen.
Oh, yeah.
And they, I mean, his last outing was not good. So they, you know, the Yankees did what, you know, I probably need to do, catch up on my sleep debt. You know, I probably have plenty of
You'll
sleep
never
debt.
Do this.
Probably
Let's
not.
Let's be clear. You'll never sleep.
It'll probably never not.
Either football but, season or it's baseball season or it's winter meetings. There's no in between.
There's no sleep. So just kidding, guys. I sleep enough. But anyway, what it comes down to is this, kind of like the sleep debt conversation, the bullpen budget that they always throw out there, the bullpen was in a lot of debt. Like they were exhausted. And I feel like just doing the last two games, and I don't want to make too big of a deal about it, but the last two games could be how the Yankees end up going on a run the rest of the month. Like that saved their bullpen. If think about this, Gary, you can't, because you're not going to just have off days. Like you can't just schedule off days. Oh yeah, we need it, so everyone's off today. No, they have to go back out there. They have to go on road trips. They have to go back to the stadium. And the reality is, Gary, that them getting into this was great, but if they had had the opposite of this and they used a lot of their bullpen in the last two games, Gary, I don't know if they recover. Sometimes you're too far gone, you know? So I do think this was everything, and I'm really glad this series worked out the way it did. Tomorrow, they still need to win. Do not get it twisted. No, oh yeah, they won the series. No. They need to sweep teams. They need to start actually creating space between them and the O's, because I think they need that one seed, Gary. If I'm being honest with you, they need the one seed. It's that simple. They definitely need to at least win the division, if we're being honest. But I think today with the double barreled, they found something, and I'm really excited to see if they continue on with this moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's at least a Band-Aid in the short term, which is what we need, because our closer, let's be clear, the guy who was designated to be our closer in Clay Holmes, he had 60 plus appearances his last, which is going to be 3 years in a row. Now, it's clearly not a recipe for success. He was dominant in the first month and a half of this season. Everybody was super excited about Clay Holmes. And then as the season progressed, we started to realize, okay, that control is going away. And you need to, at some point or another, ask the question of why. And I think at the very least, we need to introduce the idea, is this player overused? Does he have the physical capabilities to do what we're asking him to do? My opinion, Clay Holmes cannot do that. He is not Emmanuel Clase. He's not built like that. And when you have something very creative, we're like pitching two starting pitchers back to back. And I can't wait to talk about what Nestor said about it. But when you have that happen, it allows a pitcher like Clay Holmes to not touch the mound. Like he didn't warm up 2 days in a row, didn't touch the mound. That's something that excites me, because if we're going to win a World Series, I understand people not wanting Clay Holmes to be the closer. Totally get it. But he's got a pitch. He needs to help the Yankees get outs. One way or another has to happen. So whether or not that's in the ninth inning again at any point, doesn't have to be. It needs to be in the fifth, sixth, seventh, or eighth. Something has to happen with Clay Holmes. And in my opinion, the best way to get that out of him is perhaps something like this, to get him off his feet and sitting down the dugout.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of excited to see Clay Holmes in more of like an eighth inning role where he's actually capable of pitching in. Like we talked about, the splits, you can't use him in a low leverage or a high leverage, but kind of that medium leverage he thrives in. And so I am actually looking forward to that. I know that sounds weird. We've given him a lot of flack. I think he's got great stuff. I think his issue is just, it's all mental in the ninth inning. But if you add that great stuff and now he's dominating the eighth inning and you can go to Luke Weaver or whoever and they're dominating the ninth, I feel like you're in a great spot. But moving on, Gary, it's time for the Nestor comment, because you lit up. You're like, you texted me. You're like, we're talking about this. Oh, babe, oh yeah. We're talking about this. So, yeah. Do you have it in front of you, or do you want me to?
I think I actually do. Okay, I do. Okay, awesome. So for those of you who don't know, obviously Nestor Cortes came out of the bullpen. He was excellent, gave us 4 1/3. And you'd think, based on the way he pitched, that he must have really loved his role. Well, you'd be wrong. Nestor Cortes was not happy. Brian Hoke with the quote here. He says, Nestor Cortes says, obviously, I was upset. I feel like amongst all the starters, I've been the workhorse here, Cortes said. Once Gerrit Cole went down, they picked me to be the opening day starter, not necessarily the number one, but the opening day starter. I had to switch my routine there, and now they do this. So he's essentially saying, and then he goes on, he says, I'm never going to back down from a challenge. I'm never going to leave my teammates out to dry. You're always going to get my best effort, no matter what, you know, if I'm happy or not, you know, yada, yada, yada. So the point here, Jake, and this is like where you are with this. You love this.
I do.
You love this because it's a competitive fire. And by the way, you never, and I don't want to steal this answer from you, but you really did change my mind. I want to give you full credit. You never get these answers in New York anymore. Usually will stick a mic in someone's face and they just say, I'm just going to go out there and get all the outs that I can get. Anytime they call me, I'm just happy to pitch for the Yankees. And then fans complain that we get these NPC answers. When in actuality, a player gives you a real answer and then we get upset, maybe we can treat this as a player with competitive nature that feels like if I perform to a certain level, I earn a certain role on this team. And a lot of times this year, we've been complaining a lot on this show about players earning roles that they necessarily didn't earn. They just almost pedigree their way into it. Nestor Cortes believes that he's pitched well enough to be a starter on this team. Jake, what do you think?
I think it's tough because part of me believes he's better than Stroman. I think Stroman is more so the guy that's suited at the beginning of the season, pressure's off. He's really not been great as of late. He has some good moments here and there. He's just really like he's a roller coaster. But I think also the issue is, and we have to be honest with ourselves, Nestor has had an issue pitching on the road. So yes. If he continues to pitch like he did today, then he might find himself as him back in the rotation and Stroman in that position. But I think the big thing is that he's a lefty and they wanted that. I think that's why they decided to go that route. Now, I love it because to your point, and I thought about initially, and this, like, I see people saying he's, you know, okay, I'm mad and all this, whatever. He is a workhorse. First off, let me just make that very clear. He's absolutely a workhorse. He hasn't gotten hurt. And he's pitched tons of innings. He eats innings. So regardless of whether you like him or not, that's not the question. The question is, what he just said, is that valid? He says, I'm a workhorse. So currently, right now, he's pitched 163.1 innings. Okay? Career high. That is a career high. The last year was 63.1. So in a contract year, he came back without any guarantee he's going to be with the Yankees. He came back and put together 100 more innings than last year and will be then some because we'll definitely see him pitching more. I love that, you know, pitching a career high and everything. I also think this is done strategically as well because he has pitched a ton of innings. I think this does kind of lighten the load a little bit, keeps it more, you know, intact. But another thing I'll say is that when it comes to this, you know, this is not the Gleyber thing. I see people commenting, oh, it's Gleyber Torres, like, you know, over again. No. I don't want to, you know, beat a dead horse here. You guys know I have been very much an advocate for the new and improved Gleyber Torres. But this is not what that was. When Gleyber was asked about third base, he said, I'm a second baseman. That was all he said. He didn't get into why. I thought if he got into why a little bit more and, you know, had a little fire to him, I don't think it would have been treated the same way. It came off as very next question. Like, I'm not, you know, I'm not having it. Cortez answers the question. He gives Brian Hoke some actual information here. He really goes about the process. He right. shows that he's not an NPC. It's not like the fans are the only ones that notice Garrett Cole went down. He goes out there and he's like, yeah, Cole went down and they picked me to start opening day. And he doesn't say that, you know, I'm a number one guy. He literally admits that. Not necessarily the number one, but the opening day starter. So that's him
admitting.
They
didn't want Marcus Stroman to pitch opening day because they were worried about his schedule. They weren't worried about Nestor Cortez pitching off a schedule. Why? Because they trusted him. And by the way, Jake, I'm really glad you brought up Gleyber Torres. And let me actually double down on your Gleyber Torres take. I'm not just going to agree with it. Now, if Gleyber Torres had, let's project that Gleyber Torres came out and said, no, not only am I a second baseman, look what I did last year. Look what I did in 2021. Look what I did in 2022, right? Let's pretend he did do that. Didn't everyone tell me when Gleyber Torres was struggling and then we went out and traded, right? We went out and traded for a player who was at his position. And we were saying, hey, I think Gleyber Torres should move away from second base. He's leading the league in errors. He's not playing well analytically. He's not hitting, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody said the same thing. Who cares what you did 2 years ago? Who cares what you did last year? We care what you're doing right now. What can you do for me right now? That's how you're judged. Well, isn't Nestor Cortez saying, look what I'm doing for you right now? When you looked at my stats at the beginning of this year, and I did, I mentioned my concerns. I said his career high was 158 and a third innings, right? That's compelling. If you mean to tell me a pitcher who hasn't thrown over 100 innings, but once in his entire career in 6 years of baseball, your expectation this year was that he was going to throw 163 and a third innings, was that your prediction? So when that does happen, he didn't talk about it. He went out and did it. And I told you, if I would have told you Nestor Cortez is going to go out there, give you 165 plus innings this year, his ERA is going to be south of four. What would you have said to me, Jake? You would have said,
it's the best fifth starter in the league.
That's unbelievable. And
except
so,
for Seattle, obviously.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm glad you added context there.
Yeah.
But if Nestor Cortez, if you told me he's going to give me 165 plus, he's continuing in this on into September with an ERA south of four, and you told me that we're going to be using that pitcher with that level of performance as a double barreled action coming out of the bullpen, I would have been shocked. And so he's looking at it like, I am performing now, not 2021 or what I did before. Last year I got hurt. This year I'm healthy and performing, and now I'm still being relegated to the bullpen. So I can understand his frustration. And frankly, anytime a baseball player, you know, within reason, is being honest with us about what they feel with their own career and their role on the team, I'm with it. So as long as it's a pitcher not telling me, yeah, I won't pitch in the postseason for you unless I have a contract, yeah, that would tick me off. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about someone who wants a bigger bite of the apple, and I can't complain about it.
I absolutely agree, 100%. And I think the thing that I really want to get over to people is that when it comes to Nestor Cortez, I would be more upset if he didn't care. Like if he wasn't upset, I'd be like, why the hell are you not upset? And look, I'll back this up because you know I always will. So he was pitching in August, by the way. Mm-hmm. He had a 2.49 ERA in August. Do you know what Marcus Stroman had? A 4.56. Go back to July. He had a 6.93. That was the month that he was awful. He had a six-run game. He had a five-run game. He had a four-run game. He only had one game where he only gave up one run. That was against the Red Sox on July 5th. You go back to June, he had a 3.97 ERA. You go back to June for Stroman. By the way, Stroman in July, 5.50. Stroman in June, 5.13. Stroman has been kind of Alex Verdugo since June as a pitcher. He's had his moments here and there. Obviously, a lot better than Alex Verdugo.
Of course.
But the point I'm making is that really, what I think we forgot is that Stroman came out of the gates. He had that great start against Toronto, which the Yankees gave him no run support whatsoever. So he had back-to-back dominant starts against Houston and Toronto. Gave him 12 innings and two starts. He only gave up seven hits in those two starts and zero earned runs, right? So that was great. Yep. Well, then He had the Miami game, gave up four. He gave up two against Toronto. He gave up three against the A's. He gave up four against Milwaukee. So Stroman gave up. He had a 4.56 ERA in April. And that was when we were like, wow, he's pitching well. So then he bounces back in May and he has a 1.67 ERA. Guys, that recent May saved his entire ERA right now. He has a 4.03 ERA. I'm not trying to bash him.
No.
But I'm saying you have to understand Nestor's perspective here. He's the one who gets benched, so to speak, gets demoted. And you could argue, I mean, yeah, he got slammed against St. Louis in the last outing, right? Slammed.
Yep.
But at the same time, August 249, he had the bad July, 693. Then he has a June, 397. He has a May, 248. And he has an April of 341. He's been the better pitcher. Like, it's not even, and he's pitched more innings. He's gone length. He's been really good. I mean, I actually would say when I really look at it, Nestor's been the most unlucky pitcher on the Yankees. You know why? He's 9-10. How is he 9-10 and Stroman's 10-7? Because he doesn't get...
South of four, and we have the second best offense in Major League Baseball. And Jake, by the way,
he doesn't get the run support.
He doesn't. But Jake, how old is our average viewer? Again, is it someone who's 16 or 17, or is it a grown adult?
Definitely a grown adult.
Definitely a grown adult. So I'll stop you there. If our audience is mainly grown adults who love the game of baseball, what's the conversation they've always asked us about that's changed about the game of baseball? What is it? Oh, that's right. It is starting pitchers pitching 200 innings. How many different times have we heard that? When are these guys going to take the mound and give us real innings the way they used to, the way Nolan Ryan used to, the way you used to see with Doc Gooden, right? All these guys throwing 225 innings, and they actually took ownership of the game, winning the game, getting a win, right? Going past five innings, they took pride in doing that. Nestor Cortez, in my opinion, he's telling you, I want that role. Now, he doesn't see himself as this perennial 200-inning guy, but if he's healthy enough, that's the reason he hasn't pitched 200 innings. He's not healthy. He's obviously not a big guy in stature, of course, but when he's out there healthy at 165 innings, he's not trying to go out there and give you an elite five innings of baseball.
Oh, thank you for quite literally telling you,
I don't want to. He's saying, I don't want to do this. I don't want to take the shortcut route. I want to be the bulldog. So let's just be happy we finally have somebody who's willing to do it.
Yeah, I love that you brought up the stature part. I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but I was yes. Because I meant to say that. I totally forgot. 5'11", 210, and this guy's giving you 160 innings, and you're mad that he's mad? Come on now. But I don't want to accuse our audience, because we don't know what our audience thinks until you guys comment. But yeah, the powers that be on the platform that doesn't actually exist, yeah, they're like, all like, oh, Nestor, he should be canceled. His employer should fire him. I saw someone say he should be DFA'd. Are you kidding me?
I heard it too.
Do you know how important he is?
Yeah.
Like, no, somebody like told him, me. He needs to do work in the postseason. If he's doing this in the postseason, the Yankees are in good shape. Let me tell you that right now. Like, are you serious? DFA?
Yeah, someone told me that too. Yeah.
I saw that. They didn't tell me. I didn't really comment on it because I wanted to wait until the show. But yeah, I don't know. It got me fired up. Like, good for Nestor. You know, go out there and say your piece. But also, let me make this clear. I'm not taking a side. I'm defending Nestor, but I'm not saying Aaron Boone is a dumbass for going that route. I love what Aaron Boone did, and I want to make that clear, because this isn't an either or. This is Nestor has every right to be upset, and Boone has every right to try this out. Period. Yep.
And here's the reply from Arson Judge 619, totally useless existence. He says, he wasn't, LOL. He just threw his teammates under the bus and talked. And this isn't me cursing. This is him. And talked shit. DFA that dude. Type of guy that would blow a game on purpose. So he thinks that he's going to go longest yard on the New York Yankees because he's upset that he was put in the bullpen. This is a real take and a real opinion from likely not an adult. Hopefully not. But yeah,
maybe a viewer of our show. So that would be a bummer. But
I highly, highly doubt that somebody with that take would spend an hour in 40, you know, hour and 30 minutes every night watching our show. I highly doubt it. So yeah, I'm sure we're going to have people who were upset by it, and that's perfectly okay. but I'm trying
to DFA him. That's insanity.
Yeah, DFA a player in for a team that's been fighting to have a starter on the field all day. Yeah,
can you imagine that? You wake up tomorrow, Nestor Cortez DFA'd, and Mark Leiter Jr. survives. It's like, you're literally going to get to the point where memes will come out, and it'll be like the whole cockroaches at the end of the world, and then Mark Leiter Jr. is just chilling there. That's what'll happen. Mark Leiter Jr. is not going anywhere. Like, he's impossible. You cannot, beat him. The Orioles lost, as we mentioned. So the Yankees are in the driver's seat here. I feel like I've said that so many freaking times this year. I mean, the Yankees are 45-29, okay, on the road. Tomorrow, they got Garrett Cole, their ace on the mound, taking on former Yankee Jameson Taillon. He's been great this year, to be fair, you know. Mm-hmm. And they did try to get him back at some point. They were interested. I don't know how close they were to getting him. But the Cubs are also a four-game above 500 home team, you know. So this has been an impressive series because it's shown the Yankees, hey, you've only scored 5 runs, but your pitchers have shown metal. Like, you've stepped up in a way that you haven't really... This hasn't been their method of winning games. Their method of winning games has been, hey, we score the second most runs in the major leagues. That's how
we win. Is it May again?
I know. It feels weird. It's like, this is the... by all means, this is the time. I will sacrifice the offense for the pitching if they're going to get pitching at this point in the season. I mean, that's
just... Yeah, you realize the Cubs were in scoring position once today.
Yeah, that's how good our pitching was. Dominant. And they were, by the way, to add some context to that, they were in scoring position because Juan Soto misplayed that ball. It was tough. It's tough. But Juan Soto misplaying the ball ends up being a triple, right? You know, if he lets it, you know, first off, he catches it, Clark Schmidt gets the win and he pitches 5 innings.
Yeah, the win today was insane.
Yeah, I know.
It was like we were playing a baseball game in the middle of like NASA Bahamas during hurricane season. It was nonsense. Giancarlo Stanton hit a ball that should have went 475 feet to right center field, and it was just caught. He actually pimped it. So just to tell you what the elements were like, it was crazy.
Industrial fan. It's industrial fan season. I saw it first. Season. You'll have to confirm because I know, you know, you live in Arizona and you've been to an Arizona Diamondbacks game. I swear to God they were using industrial fans in that series.
Well, they do use, well, I guess technically they use humidors and they put the baseballs in a humidor and kind of store them a certain way to make sure the balls don't fly, I guess, to some degree. But it does feel like sometimes, but Chicago's pretty straightforward. This has always been the case. Like even back to the Sammy Sosa days.
Or the Windy City.
Sammy Sosa. Yeah. Sammy Sosa will just drill a ball with a cork bat and he's on steroids and this ball will just get caught. Dude, it is pretty crazy, but yeah.
It is funny the way you put that.
I mean, I was just happy to see. This game very clearly, based on the elements, was going to be played a certain way. Whoever's going to locate, you needed to hit line drives. Nothing is going over an outfielder's head all day.
No.
Okay, it's just not. And occasionally, a ball is going to be in the sun, misplayed, right? You saw Soto against the wall. Maybe a play like that changes the complexion of the game. Thankfully, it didn't. Yeah. But you know, the way I looked at today's game, it was going to be a battle of the arms, and everyone was pretty good on the mound today. They all did a pretty good job on both sides, and the Yankees need to win more games like this because I'm here to tell you right now, Jake, games are going to be played this way in October, and the Yankees, for the most part, if you really pay attention to the way they scored, a double steal from Aaron Judge and Jazz Chisholm, really? That's how the Yankees are scoring? That's how you have to go about your business. Now, do I expect the way we're going to win in October to be by way of double steal from the AL MVP? No. But what it does show is on a given day in October, if we don't have it going, can we do something else? Can we give you a wrinkle? And the Yankees for the past 10 years have shown zero ability to offer a wrinkle offensively. They essentially are going to try to score one way and one way only. They're trying to hit a 2-run jack to left center field and pimp that and then strike guys out. Well, striking guys out's awesome. Getting outs is great, but can you do the dirty work offensively? And the Yankees kind of showed, okay, elements aren't going to be on our favor today. Let's go out and grind out some runs. They did that. And yes, we're going to say we'd rather score more runs today, but Jake, aren't we only really caring that we won this game? I mean, isn't that the only thing we care about? So that's the good part.
Yeah. And, you know, Gary, I'm actually going to, you know, bring up a element that we were just talking about the other day about how, like, yeah, you know, obviously no one sucks. And, you know, if you're in the big leagues, like, you're capable of having a great week. Like, why we're not going crazy about Alex Verdugo because he's been bad the majority of the season. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, this same rule should apply to Aaron Boone, right? I mean, he wouldn't have been hired as a manager if he doesn't have his moments. And I think this goes back to earlier in the year, but I thought you and I literally said the first 2 weeks of the season was a masterclass by Aaron Boone. We loved his managing. We had no issue. And then he got into his ways in that second half. Well, this was kind of a very May, April type of game where, yeah, maybe you didn't get the offense you wanted to get, but you found other ways to win. This was really, I guess this was encouraging because if he can do this, and we know he can, but if he's doing this now in September, that means it's possible he could be doing this in October. So I'm hoping these type of games are really testing the Yankees enough where this actually is translatable going into the postseason.
Yeah, it's almost like in the regular season, getting to the end of a game in the NFL and just seeing how your head coach deals with time management. It's good practice because when it comes to winning in the playoffs in the NFL, it's basically a competition of what you do at the end of the game. That's all it really is. And so seeing situations like this where you see a 2-0 game, elements are just dog water. No one can hit a home run. No one's hitting balls in the gap. Nothing goes over anyone's head. It's essentially line drive singles, going first to third on a single, errors costing people runs, right? Double steals, hitting corners. Well, those are games the Yankees predominantly lose. That's not a game that tees up for the Bombers to win. It just doesn't. So to see them play a different style is good. It is objectively good. Now tomorrow, you hope we have a more sexy performance. We've got our ace on the mound. We want to see probably 6 or 7 innings, but you know something that Aaron Boone earned tomorrow? He earned Gerrit Cole the ability to not necessarily have to go 7 innings. Gerrit Cole very, very well might get stuck in the 4th or 5th inning where you see an at bat that's 12 or 13 pitches. And it just so happens that Gerrit Cole might pitch really well, but his pitch count wise, he's not in shape to go 6 or 7 innings. Well, guess what, Jake? The Yankees aren't in position where they need to dial back their bullpen. Their bullpen has hardly pitched the last 2 days. So you reap the rewards of what you do. And that's something that Aaron Boone has failed to do these past couple months. I think it's really caught up with the Yankees. And now we're finally kind of at least teetering in the right direction.
Yeah. I mean, the September baseball, you know, that whole element of September baseball is like a 2-minute drill, getting ready for, you know, when you have to go that 2-minute offense and, you know, practically the Hail Mary run at the end of the game. And that essentially what that is that's October. And I feel like a lot of what they're going through right now is really kind of, you know, gearing them up for October. I feel like we can just wrap it on that, you know, truthfully. I mean, I think that's really how I want to kind of wrap it up is just today was a positive day. You can complain, and we've complained about things in the past, but we wanted to make this clear, like, you know, we don't complain just to complain. We don't have a certain spot, or we don't in our pre, you know, recording meetings. We're not like, yeah, let's put this in there to complain about that because fans will like it. No, it's truthfully what comes from us, like how we feel after the game. Obviously, we know what you guys want. So we try to keep that balance of, hey, we want to talk about this because personally, I need to say this, but we also want to, you know, bring this up because this is knowledgeable. This is stuff that, you know, our audience needs to know. And I think, you know, we do a good job at that. So today was fun. I know it sounds weird. Oh, a 2-0 game was fun, but I had a blast watching pitching, and I haven't watched, I haven't had fun like that in a while watching just pitchers.
Yeah. Too many things went well today for us possibly to spend 30 minutes on complaints or base running issues that we saw in the 4th or 5th inning. We can't possibly spend our time doing that. So, Jake, are we ready for my, I'm not going movie, but I'm going TV show. Are we ready?
Yeah, I do want to shout out Austin Wells' two,
We were going to have a segment, but we'll save it for another day. We think
Austin Wells hosed two guys. You would have never seen it with whoever else could have possibly been catching today. So that was amazing to see. It's great to see a Yankee throwing out base runners. So you're going to need to see it in October. Today's a great, great start. So, Jake, I'm actually going with a TV show, and obviously this is a pun off of Nestor Cortez being extremely upset, to which we kind of backed him by being upset. And I'm going with Mad Men. We had a madman in Nestor Cortez. So, I like it. Yeah, props to Nestor.
Yeah, you guys got to drop Mad Men in the chat. And before we leave, because I don't know, I don't think I gave out the shout outs yet. We had a new member, Fotis Perlicos. I hope I didn't butcher your name. I apologize if I did. We really appreciate you becoming a member. And then our field level shout outs go to Juan Cepeda, Kid from LI, Carlos Marrero, Jeff J, Ed W, Brian Fuchs, Ryan Hoffman, Ryan Squires, Joshua Halickman, Egyptian Magician, Nick Gomes, and Jalen Sestero. We appreciate you guys. Be sure to comment below Mad Men. You can check out all of our shows moving forward, obviously on YouTube, but also on audio podcasts, wherever you get podcasts. So if, you know, for whatever reason, you don't have access to a screen, there you go. You can listen to it in audio. And be sure to hit that bell icon, by the way. If you're subscribed, you'll see the bell icon pop up. Be sure to hit that. Turn on all notifications. You'll never miss another episode of Yankees Unloaded. But we appreciate you guys, and you guys take care.
And like this video.